Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Is your financial status preventing you from being a homeowner? Well, according to a recent survey, that is the case for nearly half of would-be home buyers. Well, we're going to discuss this survey and how homeowners can take steps to improve their financial status. My guest is Holden Lewis. He's a mortgage analyst with Bankrate.com. Holden, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Hello.
Now, this is a very interesting subject and kind of surprising because I really would not have believed that finances were such an impediment. I mean, I know it's an impediment to people buying a home, but I think people must be in pretty bad financial straits if, in fact, about 45% of non-homeowners couldn't buy a home if they wanted to. Am I interpreting this survey correctly?
You're interpreting the survey correctly, except I question whether some of these non-homeowners who say that they can't afford to buy a house right now, if they're actually correct. And we can go into that a little bit later, but you know, the reason I say that is that we asked another question, which is we asked non-homeowners, when you buy a house, what size down payment do you plan to make?
Mm-hmm.
And more than half of them said that they plan to make a down payment of more than 10%. And, you know, it's really great. It's great to make a down payment of more than 10%, especially if you can put down 20% or more. But the fact is that you can get an FHA loan for 3.5% down, and you don't have to have perfect credit. And so I wonder just how many people out there don't realize that they can get a mortgage with 3.5% down or 5% down. And, you know, some of those people, they might be able to afford to buy a house, but they just don't know.
They're not aware of it. Well, that's an excellent point because, you know, it seems like so many people do dream of owning a home, and that certainly usually has been a good investment in the long term for consumers, especially young people starting out who are putting money into something that has value that builds and increases in value over a period of time. Now, you're talking about these people, perhaps they could buy a house and they're just not aware of it. Well, we're going to get into that for just a minute, but I would think it would be also important for people to be certain that even though they may be able to get a house with lower down payment, that they're going to be able to meet those payments, the monthly payments. Because we had a problem some years back with people who were buying homes that couldn't afford them. We don't want to see that situation happening again. Now, is there a risk of that if people, in fact, are buying and start buying houses with a very low down payment?
Yes, there really is a risk if you make a low down payment.
And you've got to pay on it longer, and you pay more interest over a period of time.
That's true because, of course, you're borrowing more. You know, to sell a house, let's say you use a real estate agent, you're probably paying 5 or 6% of your home's value as a commission to the real estate agent. So mm-hmm. when you think about that, let's say you make a down payment of 3.5%, and then a few months later you were forced to sell the house. Well, you know, if the home's value hasn't gone up a whole lot, where's the money going to be to pay the real estate commission?
You're going to be in the hole is what
That's
you're
right.
saying.
You start,
exactly.
Yeah, you start out basically underwater in that respect.
So it's important for people to take a hard look at their finances. And while they may be able to afford the house and make a smaller down payment, they got to make sure they can afford it in the long run. I guess that's the point that I'm making. But now you said that there are places that people can go. And look, I want to encourage people to own a home. I think that's one of the greatest things I ever did was to buy a house. That and getting married, perhaps, Holden, you know, who knows, in case my husband's listening. It seems to me that there could be an advantage to paying less down payment because that means you've got more money if you need repairs and that sort of thing. But how do people go about finding these loans where they can buy it at a lower down payment? Because that's not common. That's not normally offered through your banks. Is it?
Oh, yes, it is.
It is.
It definitely
okay.
is. Yes, because if you go to any mortgage lender or mortgage broker and say, hey, I have 3.5% or I have 5% to put down, they'll immediately say, well, you're a prime candidate for an FHA loan. So,
okay.
you know, this is a loan insured by the Federal Housing Administration.
Right.
And, you know, for if you have a down payment of probably less than 10%, getting an FHA loan tends to be the cheaper way compared to getting a non-FHA loan mm-hmm. and paying private mortgage insurance. And the reason is that if you get a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac type loan with mortgage insurance, you're going to end up paying some fees that essentially are compensating the lender for taking the risk on you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the bottom line is that you're probably going to get a better rate and lower monthly mortgage insurance payments with an FHA loan.
Okay.
If you make a down payment of, say, less than 5% or
the 10%. Smaller down payment. So having a government finance backed loan is going to be to the advantage of consumers who are making lower down payments because they won't have as much associated costs. Is that what you're telling me?
That's right.
Okay.
And actually, you know, there is another very, very important program for a lot of people, especially in the Washington, D.C. area, and that is VA loans.
Okay.
With a VA loan, you can buy a house with 0% down. Now, you do pay a fee to the VA, which I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe you can roll that fee into the loan amount.
Okay.
So, and that fee is not mortgage insurance, but it's something akin to mortgage insurance. It's a guarantee fee is what it's called. But yes, with the VA, if you qualify,
now
you
this
can
would be
buy a house with 0% down.
If you're a veteran, or if you're, does it have to be the veteran themselves? Can it be a family member? Can it be something like that?
It has to be a veteran, a member of the active armed forces. I believe people in the National Guard, and there are some folks who can qualify, I believe, if they are civilian employees of the Defense Department.
I see. Okay.
And yes, you know, the borrower has to be someone in that.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker, and today I'm talking with Holden Lewis. He is a mortgage analyst with Bankrate.com, and we're discussing a new survey that they've done, which says that finances prevent an awful lot of people from buying a home. But then again, a number of people, especially millennials, don't seem to be interested in buying a house right now. We're going to get to that in a minute. So there are but going back to what we were discussing before the break, there are a lot of options for people who want to buy a house, who might have a smaller down payment that they can make. So what they need to do, though, I would think, Holden, is to examine their finances carefully in terms of long-term payments, making sure they can meet the obligations, even though they're putting down a smaller down payment. They also may want to calculate out what is it costing them if they can afford to put down more money. Is it better to keep your money for repairs and whatnot, or are you better to go ahead and put the larger sum up front, which will reduce the amount of loan and the amount of interest you pay over a period of years? What's the answer to that, or is there an answer?
It's really a balancing act, and the lender will have a lot of input into that. You know, lenders do want you to have a financial cushion in case you need to make repairs to the house or there's emergencies. So they're going to want you, after you make your down payment and after you pay all your loan costs, they're going to want you to have a certain amount saved up just for emergencies. And so when you get a loan nowadays, they do an extremely thorough examination of your personal finance.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
You're giving them mm-hmm. all your banking information mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And so, if the lender says, you know what, you should put down 5% instead of 6%, so mm-hmm. you'll have enough in reserves, mm-hmm. well, that's what they'll tell you.
Okay, well, then that's, yes, and that you should consider that. Now, let me just ask you, talking about these 45% of non-homeowners whose finances are getting in the way if they chose to buy a house, what are some of the major problems or issues that people are facing? Is it just lack of a down payment, or is it their credit history or their debt load? Were you able to figure out what are some of the major causes that people can't get into a home?
Yes. Now, of those folks who don't own a home, and 45% of them say it's because of their finances, it breaks down into two categories.
Okay.
29% say that they just can't afford a down payment. And then the other 16% say that their credit isn't good enough to qualify for a mortgage.
Mm-hmm. So they need to take steps on both sides if they want to be a homeowner.
They need to take steps on both sides, which both of those are difficult to do. And one thing I do want to stress is that there are probably plenty of people who have mediocre credit. You know, maybe it's good, but it's not excellent, who think that they need to have excellent credit to get a mortgage. And that's just simply not the case.
But can lenders charge them a higher interest rate if their credit rating is lower?
Yes, and lenders will charge a higher interest rate for a lower credit score.
So I would think that anyone who is contemplating buying a house in the future should really make certain that they're doing all they can to get their credit score as high as they can.
Yes, you know, and the most important thing, of course, is to pay all those bills on time.
Oh, yeah, we know. We all know about that.
Right. It's a lot easier.
We don't want to do it, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I think there's one good thing in that I think that the younger people today are more knowledgeable about the importance of paying their bills on time than I was in the late 80s when I almost defaulted on my student loan.
Oh, boy.
Because I simply didn't really think it was all that important to pay my bill promptly mm-hmm. and every month. And, you know, back that was just kind of the dark ages of personal finance awareness, especially among younger people. I think today's 20-somethings are much, much savvier about credit scores and debt in general.
Well, I'm hoping that that means that the parents are savvier as well in educating their kids. But I think you're right. I think there's been a lot of the companies in the credit industry have made it their goal to educate consumers about using credit wisely. And I think that's been such a benefit. We've done, at Call for Action, we've done a number of educational projects with corporations educating consumers about credit and debit and what are the credit myths and that sort of thing.
Right.
So it really is important, and that's a great point that you make, that we have more information. And, of course, now in the digital age, you can go out there, I mean, the electronic age, where we can go out on the Internet and find out all kinds of information as well, although you have to be careful about your sources. So, yeah, I see the point you're making and how valuable that kind of information is that our younger folks have it. But a lot of millennials indicated in this survey that they really weren't interested in owning a home right now. Am I correct?
That's right. About 44% of the millennial non-homeowners said the reason they don't own a home is because they just don't want to right now. And, you know, I think most of us remember those days, you know, when you're in your mid-20s to your late 20s, maybe into your 30s, where you wouldn't dream of wanting to own a house. You want to be mobile. You want to live in an apartment. You want to live right in the city and not have a car and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you're right.
What I think the big breakdown is having children, you know. And when we asked non-homeowners of all ages, do you want to own a home right now, of the non-parents, 40% of them said, I'm not interested in owning a home right now. But of the parents, only 24% of the non-owners said that they don't want to own right now, which says to me that, you know, parents, when they don't own a home, they wish they did.
Well, I think it changes your perspective, being a parent. You know, when you're single or just newly married, you may not want those responsibilities. I mean, there is a lot of responsibility in maintaining a house. You know, it's a lot easier to call someone in an apartment and get them to come in and fix the dryer or whatever.
So, that's right. Well, and, you know, when I bought my first house, my son was about 6 months old. And I was really, really looking forward to the next winter. This was in Toledo, Ohio, because I wanted to build a snowman in the front yard with my son, you know? I mean, there's just something about having a kid when all of a sudden you say, I want a yard.
I want
an upstairs and a downstairs.
That's true. Well, you know, that's a good point for millennials to think about, making sure that their credit's in good shape before they ever become interested in being a homeowner. So, you know, paying bills and keeping on top of things like that. You know, one of the other things, too, I want to talk about it when I come back, is checking their credit bureau files. So let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Holden Lewis. He is a mortgage analyst with Bankrate.com, and we're discussing a survey about how finances get in the way of a lot of people, how poor finances get in the way of a lot of people and keep them from owning their home. And we're talking about some of the things you can do about that. But one of the things that I think is so important is that every year consumers take advantage of their free credit reports. Would you agree with that, Holden?
I definitely would agree with that. And it's for a number of reasons. Partly it's just to find out just what your credit profile looks like. And especially it's a good idea to get your credit score. Sometimes you have to pay some extra money to get the actual credit score, but that's a good idea. But also you just want to find out if the information there is correct and to find out if there are any accounts that you didn't know about, either that are accidentally shuffled into your account, you know, someone with a similar name maybe, or to see if there's an indication that someone has stolen your identity.
That's right.
And started an account in your name.
Well, we usually recommend that consumers every 4 months get a credit report from one of the three major credit bureaus. And
that's right. Yeah.
And, you know, you're entitled to one. That. You're entitled to a free one every year. You don't really have, as far as I'm concerned, you don't really have to get your credit score unless you're planning on buying something. And then you want to see what your score really is. But a lot of people probably have a sense whether or not their credit score is good. But what they really need to do is to make sure that any items on there that are not theirs, that they're contesting it, because that is so critical. Because, you know, there are rules and regulations that the credit bureaus have to utilize in answering your consumer complaints. But don't complain if there's nothing there just because you think you want to get something off your credit. It's not going to work.
Right.
But if it's a legitimate complaint, then that's another story. And what do you advise people? You need to pursue that, right?
Oh, definitely. You have to pursue that. Usually, I think the best thing to do is to call the credit bureau and follow their directions for how to contest something.
And people can go online and get their credit profile, not their credit scores. The score is how you're ranked in terms of lenders and how lenders would look at you and your financial history in terms of giving you a loan. But just your credit record itself is what's so critical to check, because that's what the lenders use to give you a credit rating.
That's right.
So your credit score or credit rating is something that can vary also from lender to lender, wouldn't you say?
Yes. You know, your credit score, your credit rating can vary from lender to lender. It can vary from credit bureau to credit bureau and from product to product.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is kind of a murky thing that I don't know a whole lot about, but I do know that insurance companies have their own scale and their own way of calculating scores. Mortgage lenders, you know, all these car lenders, they have different algorithms to calculate the scores.
Yeah, they look at you in different ways. That's very true. And that's what consumers need to realize. There's no such thing as one credit score.
There is not such thing as one credit score. And, you know, and this can get really complicated when you're talking about two people, let's say they're getting a mortgage together, because what lenders will do is they will look at each person's three credit scores from the three main credit bureaus. And so, you know, they might take the middle score for both of them. They might take the bottom score for both of them. They might just take the middle, you know, the bottom middle score mm-hmm. of one of them, you know, that kind of thing.
So, yeah, it depends on the lender. And I think that's one thing that surprises a lot of consumers, because when we've done consumer education on credit scores and the myths about credit, a lot of consumers have been surprised at how the credit score can vary from lender to lender, and as you said, from bureau to bureau. So, and the bureaus themselves are not the ones that assign you a credit score. It's the lender that does that. Is that correct?
No, actually, I believe what they do is they essentially buy that credit score. They order that credit score from a credit bureau.
Yes, that's what I mean. The credit bureau provides your information, and the lender
right.
gives you the credit score.
Right, and they just, you know, a lot of times they'll have kind of their own proprietary algorithm.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, a lot of the companies do. Let me ask you, Holden, how can people get this information? Just go to bankrate.com and find information on. I know you have a ton of information, so
we have. Tons and tons of information. Yes, go on to bankrate.com and, you know, just start searching in the search box, and there is a lot of information to find.
And on mortgages, well, you all do a tremendous amount of consumer education. I know that because I've interviewed a number of people from bankrate.com. So you have some good stuff for consumers. And really, consumers need to take advantage of it and start looking at credit scores and credit their credit profile well before they want to buy something. Even a car, renting an apartment, it can be affected by your credit.
Yes, all of those folks. They look at your credit score. Insurance companies, landlords, they all look at your credit score.
It's amazing, and it really has gotten to be such an – well, you know, that's one of the reasons credit is the reason we can have the American dream, because, I mean, who could afford to go out and buy a house and pay all the money or a car? And so because we have credit – we're able to do a lot of things that a lot of countries who don't have a credit system like we do, people can't do there. So, yeah, I mean, it's really something that's a blessing. But it's not a blessing if you don't take care of it. So your survey, I think, has been very interesting, Holden. And any final thought on it? We just got about a half a minute here.
You know, I think that one of the main things that people deal with, especially younger people, is how to balance student loan debt or just mm-hmm. other kind of debt
right.
with wanting to save for a down payment for a house. And, you know, I wish I had an answer for that. I mean, I think what a lot of people do is they decide that...
Unfortunately, we're running out of time. So
okay.
it's an interesting note to close on. Maybe that's a subject for another discussion.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Holden. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Holden Lewis, who is a mortgage analyst with Bankrate.com, and he's providing great information. And their website has information on this survey about how our finances are preventing many of us from owning a home. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.